Chapter 1. Some Fellows on Trial for Piracy. From the deck of the Dutch frigate, I looked onto the wide blue bay filled with ships and boats of all sizes. Below us, dockhands scurried along the wharf, unloading cargo onto wooden carts. Farther down the street, stately men in white straw hats exited carriages. Not far from the edge of a seawall, tents made from sails were strung between palm trees, providing shade for the men lounging about on the beach. I might have appreciated the view more if ropes had not bound my wrists and ankles. Horrible Horace ordered us to wait along the ship's railing while he directed a clot of shabbily dressed boys and girls down the gangplank. Like us, they were bound hand and foot. "Don't tell me those kids were picked up for piracy," I said. "Most don't even look old enough to be in school."
"Orphans and runaways, most likely. Black Spot runs a tight ship. No room for riffraff and ruffians on his watch."
"Who's Black Spot?"
"Commodore Blackburn Chamberlain Spotswood, nephew of the governor's wife. Any who is a lost boy or girl and doth appear healthy is shipped off to work in the sugarcane fields. The diseased and deformed face a more gruesome fate."
I blinked away sweat and swiped my forehead while imagining what it must be like to work in sugarcane fields in the tropics. What could be worse than working all day in this heat?
"I dare say thou might find out soon enough."
After the boys and girls were herded into a circular livestock pen and left under guard by British soldiers, Horrible Horace clomped back up the gangplank.
"Welcome back, my lord," said William Shakespeare. "Stop calling me that! As you wish, your royal highness!" "You first," said Horrible Horace,
jabbing me in the back with his pistol.
"And don't you try to run!"
"Wouldn't dare think of it," I said. Running was absolutely what I was thinking.
"Sharks in the bay love it when prisoners run. Feed 'em breakfast, I do."
I'll skip over the boring sightseeing stuff that happened next. Basically, we walked down cobblestone streets, passing taverns and drunks and boarding houses, and a livery stable with horses, and quite possibly drunk horses. Some young boys were emptying jugs into troughs, and the horses were lapping it up and stumbling around. Eventually, we ended up in front of a narrow wooden door at the base of a cliff. On top of the cliff was a fort. Horrible Horace pounded his fat fist on the door. The door opened part way. A yellow eye looked out. Horrible Horace grabbed me by the hair and jerked me forward.
"Pirate!"
The yellow eye swiveled, studied me, and the door opened all the way. The man with the yellow eye shoved a lit torch into my hand and disappeared. I'll skip all the boring stuff about how we climbed up a stone staircase and emerged into a large underground cavern illuminated by torches mounted on damp walls. I won't even hardly mention the torture equipment positioned around the humongous cavern chamber, except to say it looked a lot like a fitness workout gym, only instead of weights and stuff, there was the rack, braking wheel, and knee splitter. William Shakespeare caught me gawking at a leather cage.
"Victim is placed inside with only his head protruding from the webbing. The cage is doth hoisted over the brow of a cliff. All manner of birds have a go at the prisoner's head until all that remains of the poor soul is a bloody skull. Beastly way to go." "Stop your jawing and get to walking."
I'll skip more boring stuff, like how we passed through the Chamber of Horrors, as my scribe described them, and wove our way around a section of walled catacombs filled with prison cells where desperate men, filthy and stinking, flung themselves at prison bars, screaming to be set free.
"See, lad? There art worse things than swinging by thy neck. These are the ones who doth begged for mercy and received that and more."
Finally, we reached a part of the fort that actually looked like something you expect to see in a fort. By this I mean it had walls that were not made from rocks, and a door positioned in a wooden doorframe that was not mounted into stone. With a hard shove in the back, Horrible Horace shoved me onto the fort's parade grounds. Soldiers stood in formation with muskets at their sides. In the center of the compound, a Union Jack fluttered atop a flagpole. Two wooden lecterns flanked the flagpole. Behind one stood a well-dressed man in a red tailcoat, black breeches, and white stockings. White curls sprouted from beneath his black tricorn hat. Behind the other lectern were two scruffy-looking men, both shabbily dressed. I recognized the two shabbily dressed men. They had been aboard the Black Avenger the day I'd been captured. Then, their loud bragging of robbing ships and killing crew had sounded brash. Now, both looked terrified. It was easy to see why. A set of gallows stood in one corner of the fort. Atop the scaffolding, a burly man wearing a leather mask stood with arms folded. Behind him, a pair of nooses swung gently with the breeze. An officer, much younger than those seated on the long bench, rose from his chair.
"Black Spot," William Shakespeare whispered to me.
Commodore Spotswood was dressed in a dark blue jacket with gold mortarboards on the shoulders. Brooding eyes peered out from beneath the brim of a tricorn hat.
"Has the jury reached a verdict?"
"We have, sir."
"And how do you judge?"
"We, the jury, find the defendants, Charles Pugh and Brodie Greaves, guilty of piracy."
A groan escaped from a shaggy-haired defendant. The taller one remained rigid, his stone-hard eyes unwavering as he fixed his stare on the gallows.
"Do either of you wish to make a statement before judgment is passed?"
The flag fluttered. Birds squawked. From far away came the sound of booming surf.
"Very well. Charles Pugh and Brodie Greaves, inasmuch as you have been found guilty of piracy, the punishment for which is death, it is hereby the opinion of this court that you should—"
"I got something to say," said the defendant Greaves.
"Ooh, this ought to be rich," William Shakespeare said to me.
"I want to say that I never got a fair trial. These proceedings is a sham and a travesty. In all me days of sailing, I ain't ne'er set foot aboard a pirate ship. I served the Queen faithfully all me days, I have. I'm just a poor seaman who's lost his way, is all."
The Commodore's face remained unchanged.
"Anything else?"
"'Tis true I was aboard the Black Avenger. I don't deny it. But was there against me will, I was."
"And the other pirates you sailed with," the Commodore said, "did they hold you against your will in the grog shop Santa Maria, too?"
Snickers erupted from some of the soldiers. The Commodore looked at the defendant the way my mom looks at cockroaches right before she steps on them.
"I was their prisoner, I was. Tried to leave, but they would have none of it."
"And I suppose you would have us believe these men forced you to drink rum, steal gold, silver, and jewels, and go cavorting about the streets of Petit Goave with wenches and tramps?"
The soldier's snickering turned into out loud laughter.
"He was there! He seen how it was!"
He pointed at me. This was not the sort of pirate trial help I was looking for at that moment.
"Is this true?" the Commodore asked,
now looking at me the way my mom looks at bird poop on her car.
"Do you know this man, Brodie Greaves?"
"Tell him! Tell him how it was, mate! You was there!" "Man asked ye a question,"
Horrible Horace said, pushing me forward. At that moment, I did not exactly like my chances of staying alive.
"For God's sake, boy, speak up for your old shipmates. Tell him how we didn't have no choice in the matter. It's your neck that's on the line, too."
I wasn't in the grog shop on Santa Maria with you that night," I said. "I mean, I was in the grog shop, but only for a few minutes, and the only time I saw you was on the ship."
"Liar! Coward! You were there! Thick as thieves we was! Rot in hell, you will for lying! Swear it!"
"Pay him no mind,"
William Shakespeare called, trying to comfort me.
"His curses cannot reach thee from the grave."
But I wasn't so sure. The doctor aboard the Black Avenger had warned that if I stayed with the ship, I would die a pirate's death. And now I was being charged with piracy.
You? The Commodore asked. Any final words?
Charles Pugh refused to look up. His stringy brown hair hid his face. I couldn't be sure, but I think he was crying.
Very well. Inasmuch as each of you has been found guilty of piracy, the penalty for which is death, it is hereby the judgment of this tribunal that you be hanged by the neck until dead. May God have mercy on your souls.
The sound of the gavel echoed across the courtyard. The drummer began beating out a melancholy cadence. Soldiers grabbed both defendants and hauled them across the grassy parade grounds toward the gallows.
Traitor! Liar! Same as your dad you are!
Greaves yelled back at me.
And you'll go the way of that scoundrel Richard Bradshaw, too!
That one has a tongue on him, William Shakespeare said.
Did you hear what he said? He knows my dad. How can he know Dad?
I wouldst not put much stock in the ranting of a thief pounding on death's door. Cheat the hangman and live to fight another day. That be the course thou shouldst sail now.
Before I could ask what he meant by cheat the hangman, Greaves called out,
A prayer! For God's sake, somebody pray for my soul!
But no prayer was offered. Only the squawking of gulls circling the gallows interrupted the two pirates' shuffling of bare feet on the gallows. The hangman positioned a noose over Graves's head, then slid it down, removing all slack so that his heels barely touched the planking. Doing the same with Pew, he then grasped a humongous lever and waited for a signal from the Commodore. Pew's sobs were drowned out by the drummer's drum roll. The Commodore nodded. The hangman shoved the lever forward. The men fell. There was a sharp crack, like the sound of a bullwhip striking wet pavement. Pew's legs jerked. His feet twitched. After several minutes, his spasmodic convulsions ceased. Greaves suffered longer, thrashing violently. Eventually, he too stopped jerking. The pair twisted slowly with the sea breeze. Scaffolding boards creaked. Above them came the mocking cries of gulls circling the gallows.
Next!
Horrible Horace shoved me with the end of his billy club. I took my place behind the lectern.